Morning. Lord bless you. Aren't you glad that you're not in the land of death, but you're in the land of the living, where a lot of light's shining? Aren't you happy? Aren't you glad you come to Christian Challenge? Isn't this a beautiful bunch of people? I got lost about 15 times in that building yesterday. I knew you kept going. You had to come out somewhere. You could fit our whole building in the sanctuary. It was a beautiful church. Thank you, Jesus. Go with me, if you would, please, to Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to read the first 15 verses. Pay close attention to this ministry today and then offer thoughts and insights at the end of it. I have an objective in this. You ought to pick it up from the very beginning, but if you don't, I'll explain it to you all through it, especially at the end. Now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go on since you have visited your servant. And they said, Do so. So do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly, prepare three measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. Abraham also ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, There in the tent. He said, I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I indeed bear a child when I am old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, No, but you did laugh. Okay, let's go home. Thank you, Jesus. When you think about the things that stand out in Abraham's life, what's the most important thing you can think of? There are a lot of awesome events. When God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldeans, and when he went into Egypt and lied about his wife and how God rescued him out of that, and then separated from Lot, had Ishmael. Those on the mountain to sacrifice Isaac. All these are issues that are very important. But the one thing that stands out in the life of Abraham is his encounters with the Lord. Can you say amen? Not just one. When you're reading the story of Abraham, time after time after time, we see the Lord speaking into his life. And Abraham's life is filled with divine moments, with sacred moments. How many folks know that your life is filled with sacred moments? That's the way God designed the walk of the covenant, that He would fill your life with these divine moments and with these sacred moments. Let me define what a sacred moment is in the sake of our teaching. A sacred moment, number one, is when we know we've heard from the Lord. What makes it sacred is Him. When we know we've heard from the Lord. So we're not doing things by rote. or by learned expressions or whatever it may be, we know we have heard from the Lord. That is a sacred moment. Number two, a sacred moment is when things are settled. You're given an answer, you're given a direction, you're given a disclosure, you're given a release. You heard from the Lord and it's settled. These are sacred moments. We need lots of them. We need to hear from the Lord often. This ministry, Christian Challenge, was built on sacred moments. Our parsonage was built on sacred moments. Our life and your life is going to revolve around sacred moments as a believer. These are directives, directions, awesome moments with the Lord. And this is what Paul meant when he said, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory." Amen. You initiate nothing. You may think that you do. He initiates it all. He is in charge. He is the author and the perfecter, or the developer and the goal. He is the Alpha and the Omega of your life and of your faith. You could not know him had he not called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That may create a lot of questions. It's too bad. You know him because he called you. You won't always have the answers, but you know you're in the light because he calls you out of darkness. Can you say, "I love you, Jesus"? So what I want to do this morning is just talk about this issue about what your faith life is really all about, what it's built upon. We'll use Abraham and Sarah basically as a backdrop. I won't refer to them always in this, but I want to use them as a backdrop for this. So our subject is Sacred Moments, subtitled, "Is Anything Too Difficult for the Lord?" Can you say amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we present ourselves to you this morning. When the church meets, wherever it meets, it is an ordained sacred moment. You yourself said, "Where two or three are gathered together in your name," that you are there. And Lord, we understand that more now, I guess, than we ever have. We've always loved it and appreciated it. But you always meet with your people. You're not looking for our perfections. You're looking only for us. We are those lost sheep that went astray, that you went after. You brought us. You placed us where we were to stay, in your flock. Help us in our ministry today, Lord. Bless your children, all your servants throughout the lands. Let them minister in a way that will profit your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, take notes if you'd like. Back of your bulletin, three areas. Number one, the way of peace. We're going to talk about the way of peace. Secondly, we're going to talk about, is anything too difficult? Is anything too difficult? And number three, he gives me laughter. I'm not talking about the laughing movement. I'm talking about a principle of hermeneutics, whatever that is, right? So we're going to talk about the way of peace. Then secondly, we'll talk about, is anything too difficult? And then thirdly, we'll talk about, he gives me laughter. Lord ever give you any laughter? Okay, we'll find out about that. It's there. Let's begin with the way of peace. And to understand the faith walk, the first thing you have to understand are the biblical trademarks of faith. It can be narrowed down to one, but I mentioned this here earlier in this month in one of the teachings, to follow the sun. But do you remember what the prophet of old said, the wise man said, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. You remember that? So you have a lot of writings in the Bible about this issue of peace. Paul said the kingdom of God is not physical. It's not eating or drinking. But what are the three trademarks? What are the three hallmarks of somebody walking in kingdom covenant? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is, the Holy Spirit governs the kingdom and administers those things into our life and into our hearts. So we have this issue of peace. But everything can be narrowed down to the one word. If you want to deal with the biblical trademark of faith, it can be summed up in the word peace. And let me share that with you a little more today. We talked about it, like I said earlier. First, let me show you the negative side. If you go to Isaiah 59, the prophet Isaiah, listen to what Isaiah says about a class of people who are never going to know peace. Not true biblical governing peace of God, because they're going to be disobedient to the Lord. But if you look at Isaiah 59, they're always going to have mental problems, emotional problems, physical problems, prosperity problems, and they won't know the way of peace, the way of shalom. There's a reason for that. And I don't mean to be negative, but I want you to see the negative side so we can look at the positive side. And Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." So we have a group of people that can play religious and play like everything's all right, but down deep in their soul they know things are not right. Right? But God's there. But if you look at verse number 8, it says, "They do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads on them does not know peace." Now, what is it they don't know? They don't know the way of peace. Now, that's the negative side. How about the Messiah? How about Jesus? How about this Lord that comes into your life or brings us into His world? What is one of His great names? He's the Prince of what? He's the Prince of Peace. He's also called the Prince of Life. Let me show you the positive side of that. If you go with me to the New Testament, to the book of Luke chapter 1, and the prophecy, one of the first prophecies made about the Messiah, it was prophesied over John the Baptist, but it had to do with the Messiah. And you'll see it in Luke chapter 1, verse 67 and 68, then I'll drop down a little further. Do you have it? Verse 67, "And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied." That is, he spoke by the inspiration of the Spirit. "Saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant." Look at verse 78. "Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death," and read the rest of that with me, please, "to guide our feet into the way of peace." Now, the primary work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Messiah, the Spirit of God in the New Covenant, is to guide believers in the paths of covenant peace. The gospel is called the gospel of peace. Now, this being led, or this being being guided in the paths of peace, that word "path" there really means, well, it's a roadway, but it means a journey. And the second thing we need to know about the way of peace is that life is a journey. We don't just get up in the morning, wake up, all of a sudden go about our routine and just, well, I got to live through this day, whatever. The life that you've been called to is a path. It is a journey. It has a beginning point. It began for you when you met the Messiah. When God called you out of darkness into the light of Jesus Christ, when you met the Messiah, that's where the journey of this life began. When it ends, as life as we know it, is when we appear before the throne of God and the Messiah presents us faultless and blameless. For he hath given us his merits. His righteousness hath become our righteousness. He has given us perfections that belong to him. Pardon me. But what I want you to see is that life is a journey. The second thing we need to understand is that life is a journey. And this is why the Apostle Paul says, "As you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him." That is, You received Him because you heard Him, because you felt Him, because He drew you, and you came to Him, and you responded to Him, and you confessed Him, and you believed in Him with your heart, and you confessed Him as your Lord and Savior, and you've got that confession today, that He's Lord of your life. Do you have that confession intact, that He's Lord of your life? Then, what Paul said, the way that you received Him, so walk with Him, or walk in Him. Continue your walk with the fact that He's leading you, and He's guiding you, and He's speaking into your life. He is the author, the finisher, the perfecter, the developer. He is what your faith life is all about. No one comes to the Father but through me. You know the way. Why do you ask me the way? I am the way. I am the reality. I am the truth. I am the life. I am your life. I'm giving you my life. We're going to have a life exchange. We're going to walk together. There will never be a moment in your life that you won't need me. There'll never be a moment in your life that you can't reach me. There'll never be a moment in your life that I won't give you an answer. Everyone that asks receives. Everyone that seeks finds. Everyone that knocks, the door shall be open. If we're not receiving, we're not praying. We're not asking. We're not knocking and we're not seeking. Can you say amen? So we have this issue here called the way of peace. Now there is the great Abrahamic promise is summed up by the Apostle Paul under this issue that the same Lord who led Abraham and spoke into his life and gave him sacred moments is the same Lord who's going to be in your life leading you and giving you sacred moments. Your walk is to be Abrahamic. That's why the law of Moses has to be set over. And the law of Moses is a tremendous teaching tool, but it cannot be the governing tool of a child of God's life. It's written on paper. God has to do something with our hearts and our minds and our thinking and our thoughts and our directions and our future. And so He takes charge of every one of His sheep personally, guiding, leading, strengthening, speaking into our life. If you go to Galatians, Paul brings this out, but I'd like you to see it again. In Galatians chapter 3, this is kind of a summation for us of the Abrahamic promise given to us through our Messiah Jesus. Let's nail it down. If you look at Galatians 3, Christ redeemed us. Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So the law is not hanging over our head anymore, right? Why? In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that is to all the nations, all the peoples, then he defines what it is. So that we would receive the promise of the Spirit, the actual presence of God through faith. Can you see that? So what is the Abrahamic promise? The Spirit of God. The Spirit of the Messiah. Personal guidance. Sacred moments. Divine interchange. The Prince of Peace ruling, moving in our life. And so, a biblical trademark of a covenant walk is going to be, number one, this tremendous sense of well-being in your soul. Your soul is to prosper with this sense of belonging, a sense of assurance, and a sense that He is my Lord and Savior, the sense that He has charge over my life. And it's being able to live in that composure of peace. But it also means much more. It means that I can expect the Lord to guide me by giving me sacred moments. Can you say amen? God doesn't want any of His people doing anything by rote. He doesn't want you to learn the five steps to nothing. Now forgive me, I know it sounds terrible. There are a lot of principles that we can learn that will help us, that will further our education when it comes to the things of the Lord. But we don't ever want to get under the idea that if I learn to work this program, everything's going to work right because I've learned the steps. God never intended us to live with Him by learning steps. We are to have a personal awareness of Him in our life and to know that He will give us what we ask. He will give us these sacred moments that are so very important in our life. This is why when I do a lot of counseling, I can offer some guidance from the Bible, but I refuse to make decisions for anybody. That's not my responsibility. That's the Lord's responsibility. He's the one you should ask about what you should do. Can you say amen? I remember as a young pastor, I don't do that anymore, but as a young pastor, I tried to help everybody out with everything they had in life. Just handle all their problems. Like, run me crazy. And I found out later that I can't be the Holy Spirit. He didn't call me to be the Holy Spirit, and I'm not anybody's Lord. There's some things you've got to work out for yourself, and you can't have somebody coming in on a divine rescue mission every time you get in trouble. Walk that thing through. Get some answers from the Lord for yourself. Quit depending on everybody else. Pick you up. Take care of you. Where'd that come from? Came out of my mouth. Well, I found out I got to be the bad guy a lot of times. Because every time I tried to help somebody, I tried to get in there and help them work out their problems. Next thing you know, they get their problem worked out, but I'm the guy that got the problem now. You can scratch all that if you want. This is why, though, talking about this way of peace, these divine, these sacred moments, this is why it is so important to understand that you can only have a sacred moment when the Lord has your attention. You ought to write this one down. This is one reason God ordained that you gather with the saints in churches. He's ordained that. People who say that they don't need to be in the assembly of the church, not only are they deceiving themselves, but they're going contrary to the Word of God. You need to be in the assembly of the saints. There's a particular promise of a divine moment that God says He will give you in the assembly of the saints. Pardon me. Jesus said, and He's talking about the assembly of the righteous, He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in My name, there is a sense of a gathering to Jesus. We're not just having a potluck supper. We're gathering to Jesus to hear from Him, to study His Word. When they gather together in My name, there I am in the midst of them. Now, why would He say that? Because He's always with us every moment of every day. Why would He particularly say that? Because these are sacred moments. And even in the early church, you had people that began to start missing, and He warned them about that, to always gather with the saints, because these are sacred moments. This is why I stress upon you and try to encourage you, to have a devotion, a Bible reading time in the morning, not to see how many chapters you can read or if you can read the Bible through in a year, and I think it's good to do that if you can. But that's not the point. The point is you need your sacred moment. And you need to hear from the Lord early in the morning. David said, early in the morning will I seek You. I'll offer My sacrifices in the morning. He said, open My eyes, Lord, that I may behold wonderful things from Your instruction, from Your Torah. And so the reason we encourage you for believers early in the morning to have a personal aloneness. This is something else I want to stress. There's things you can do with other people, but there are times when it needs to be just you and Him. Where you can meditate and where you can think and where you can open your heart, but most of all, where you can listen. And people who learn to do that, they find their lives being led every day by these sacred encounters, that encounter they had that morning. And they become aware of the presence of the Lord throughout the day. Can you say amen? Now that's not the only time you get sacred moments. You can have them a lot of times. I mean, you can have them any time. Because a sacred moment is not something you initiate. You present yourself to the Lord. You make yourself available, but He initiates the moment. Right? And sometimes they'll come even a little bit unexpected, but it will always, most always be in stillness. Whether you're shaving in the morning, whether you're driving down the road and you start thinking, sometimes those thinking that's going on in your mind, God's even initiating that. Because He wants to enter into dialogue with you, to clear up some things in your brain, to get you moving into the day as you ought to be moving. Can you say amen? Why prayer? Satan hates people who pray. And prayer is not always just even out loud with your mouth, folks. It's a continual dialogue that can be going on in your heart with the Lord. But there are moments when we ought to be saying things to the Lord. It certainly helps. Can you say amen? So what does He do? He leads us, the Messiah, Jesus, the one we call our Christ, leads us in the paths of peace. That is, He refreshes our soul. He guides us in righteousness in the way that He wants us to walk and to live. And the people who have the greatest struggle among God's people are those who are not doing this. They're not seeking for and asking for these sacred moments. God, I need a sacred moment today. I need to hear from You this morning. I need You to speak into my heart. I need You to speak into my life. That's not hard to do. Everyone who asks receives. Father, in the name of Jesus, I need a sacred moment. I've been neglecting. I've been so busy doing this and that, but I have neglected my aloneness, and I feel it inside of me, and I need You. Please, Lord, give me a sacred moment. Speak into my heart. He is so happy to do that because one of His children... Let me tell you something that delights me more than anything else is when one of my children make it known that they want to spend a little time with me. I know they're busy. They have their family. They have their wife. They have their husband. They got their own world, so I can't be their world anymore. Mom and Daddy raised them and did the best we could to try to give them a foundation. But nothing thrills my heart more than for one of the kids want to just be around me or be around Mom a little bit. So it makes you wonder how the father feels when one of the kids says, Lord, I just need just You and me. I need a sacred moment. I need a little time for You. I wonder if it makes him feel good. I don't know. We're made in His image. He must be kind of like us. We're a whole lot like Him, what the Bible says. Okay, this is the way of peace. God's going to lead you and guide you, and that's something we need to understand. Is the first thing you understand is the hallmarks of biblical faith is going to be righteousness, peace, and joy, that great sense of composure. The work of righteousness will be peace. What Isaiah said, the work of righteousness will be peace. There'll be assurance. There'll be something inside of you that says everything is all right. There won't be the striving and driving and trying to attain and try to figure out how to get this and how to get that. There'll be a resolution inside of you that's so satisfied. Why? Because divine things are happening in your heart. You'll enter into God's retirement program. It's called the rest and the refreshing. Amen? See, if you find something you like to do, you never have to work again the rest of your life. How many folks know that? You ever heard that old saying? Find a job that you love and you'll never work again. Well, it's the same thing with the Christian walk. Find what Christianity is really all about, is these sacred moments, this sacred walk with the Lord. And you will never ever have to strive again trying to make things work. Secondly, is this one question that God asked Sarah. And this is the one question you're going to have to deal with over and over and over, but you have to deal with it in your heart. It is a faith-settling question. Sarah was thinking in her heart. She hadn't opened her mouth. She hadn't said one thing. She was standing. This was an important venture. These three men came. One of them was God Almighty. Don't you know they carried the sense of God with them? And she'd like to kind of listen on what's going on. I don't blame her. I don't want to put my ear to that tent too. I don't want to know what they're even talking to the Lord about. And the Lord's talking to Abraham about having a child, and she's thinking in her heart, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure? Now she's not talking about the sexual union, folks. She's talking about having a baby. She's old, all of a sudden you're going to have a baby and get to have her own baby. She never had a baby. So this is what she's talking about. And my Lord being old also. Now, why did the Lord speak to Sarah? Was it to embarrass her? No, never. God always speaks one language. It's not tongues. He speaks the language of the heart. You ought to write that down. God speaks to your heart. If God's going to talk to you, there's not going to be some voice out there somewhere. It's going to be something spoken into your heart. God speaks into your heart. So He spoke to her, and we have to understand this issue about speaking, because until things are settled in our heart, we will never walk in faith. We will never enjoy a walk of faith the way that we need to walk in it until things are settled in our hearts. There's got to be things settled. Can you say amen? So we need these sacred moments of the heart. If we're running around trying to work the five laws of speaking to the mountains, we are being presumptuous. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to run around speaking to mountains. If you go look at the dialogue, we're not going to go there, but if you'll study it very carefully, there is a divine interchange that's taking place in Mark chapter 11. Have faith in God. Well, the word "in" there is not the typical Greek word for "in," which is "en," but it's "ek," which means the faith that comes from God. God generates the faith that we're to walk in. Faith comes from hearing. Christ, speak to your heart. Speak into your life. Faith comes from hearing, hearing by the word, the rhema of Jesus Christ, of Christ. That rhema and logos means the same thing many times, but there's kind of an overlapping thought here that rhema actually has the idea of Christ speaking to your heart. So faith comes by hearing. Sarah heard something God said to her. And we need these sacred moments. When the Lord spoke to Sarah, He did it to prepare her spiritually for a miracle that would take place later. He had to get her prepared. So He spoke to her heart and He asked the question, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Are you listening to me? If you're going to walk in faith, and you are, you're called to walk in faith, that is the question that you're going to have to answer. Not you're going to answer. God asked that. She didn't ask herself that question. He asked her that question. He initiated the conversation. He initiated that thought. He's asking her. And He's speaking to her heart. And He's helping to arrange her heart. And He asked her the question because she is up in years. Long past childbearing time. She loved what she heard, but when she looked and considered Abraham and herself, I'm old now. Am I going to have a child? See, God, Abraham had already fallen on his face over this issue, by the way. We didn't read that part, but chapter before, Abraham heard the, you know, he fell on his face laughing about all this, but that's all right. But God speaks into her heart, and this is the question. And this is the question that you're going to have to deal with time after time after time. I don't care what your situation is, what you're facing, what your problem is, what decision you need to make. This is the question that's going to come up in your heart as a child of God. And I think the Holy Spirit initiates this question. He asks you, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Why would He ask you that? To arrange your spiritual life. To arrange your own thought. Now, if your response is, well, yeah, you can't do this, shut it down. You've stopped right then. You've stopped the faith movement. But you're not going to say that. Because if the Lord's speaking to you, and you know it's the Lord speaking in your heart, that's a wonderful question. That's an awesome question for the Lord to ask you. Because what is He doing? He's really, in that question is the inference that, no, there's nothing too difficult for you, Lord. Right? And so go to Hebrews chapter 11. God, I have to point out something here that I really want to make sure that we understand. Sarah could not depend on Abraham's faith. And sometimes we miss something here, but I want you to see. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. She was a participant in this. And she was just as important in what was happening with Sarah as Abraham was. And we need to understand, and I'm going to get on a little bit of a side issue and then talk to you about this issue in marriage, but it is so valuable to understand. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8, I'm going to pick up Abraham first. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, how many folks saw he was called? He didn't just decide to go on a journey, right? When he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. All he knew was he had the call, the forward movement. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Look at verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself. Now, Abraham didn't do this. This happened with Sarah. Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. He asked Sarah a question. He spoke to her heart and he said to her, didn't have to call her name. She knew who he was talking to. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? And those words went into her heart, and Sarah thought about that, and she said, no. There's nothing too difficult for you. And he arranged her spiritually for the moment of conception. She was arranged spiritually first. If the business had to be taken care of her heart first. And what we have a problem doing sometimes, we want to take care of the business before it's taken care of inside of us. It has to be taken care of inside of us first. You understand what I'm saying? It has to be taken care of in here first. Then we have the process. Then we have the receiving what God has promised. But she decided nothing was impossible for him, for the Lord. And that's why I want to make a point here. I said this is kind of a side issue. It is the most foolish thing for a Christian man to think that his wife cannot receive things spiritually, and that he has to have all the oversight and the direction and everything that's ever done in the family because he is a man. It's also very foolish for a woman to take reins of a family and think that God can't speak to my husband because he's not spiritual, whatever it is. How many folks know that when you come into marriage, you enter into a covenant relationship as partnered with God? And the Bible says you are co-joint, equal heirs. Did you know that? And it's a foolish man that will run around just making all kinds of decisions for his family that won't listen to what his wife has to say. And the same thing with the wife. She won't listen. Drags him around from church to church. She doesn't like this church. She'll drag him to another church. Doesn't like that church. She'll drag him to another church. Now, forgive me, folks. It happens. Not a lot, but it does happen. Because she's taking the spiritual lead of the family, and he's some poor little wimp. Doesn't know any different. I sure hate talking like this. This is so ugly. But I just want to make a point to you. Sarah was just as important to this venture as Abraham was. And God not only had to speak to Abraham, but he had to make sure that Sarah's, and they had to be in agreement together. And there's no more powerful testimony on this earth than a man or woman who are in agreement together spiritually. If there's discord there, there's something wrong with what one person's wanting to do. And there needs to be a stopping and listening and make sure our hearts are joined together. Now, I won't take you there, but if you're interested in where that's found, you can go to 1 Peter chapter 3, and it gives you a basic outline of how this thing works and the issue of our covenant relationships. And so anyway, we're back to this question, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Holy Spirit speaks that to Sarah. And next thing you know, everything's beginning to work the way that it's supposed to be working. Amen? Now, let's get into the last area. He gives me laughter. How many of you folks have ever messed up so much doing things your own way that you felt unworthy to ask the Lord for anything? Well, that's exactly where you need to be. Can I say it one more time? I mean, you've done it so much your own way, and you realize you're such a flub-up that you don't even feel worthy to ask God for anything. I've messed up so much. Well, that's where God tries to bring us to cause us to understand that we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, not by anything we do. You understand? We're led by grace through faith. Not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. We don't lead ourselves. We don't guide ourselves. And so it's so important to understand this particular concept. This is why Paul said to the Corinthian Christians who were so hyped up over esoteric things, all the things that was going on. He said, listen, I want to show you a more excellent way. And then he begins to unfold the love walk. And he begins to describe God. And he begins to describe the love of God that can be found in the heart of a child of God, where your life is composed and you're maturing in faith and you're listening to God and your life's being brought together. And he describes God's love. But James tells us God's character. And I want you to see this, because I'm going to tie it in together something here. Go with me to James chapter 3. God asked you the question about having messed up, doing things your way, felt unworthy to ask the Lord anything. What God wants us to understand is that your faith walk is based upon the principle of His love for you. And His desire to help you. And I don't care how many times you may have messed up. All of us have messed up. And how many times we've done it wrong. There will never ever be a time in your life that you can't call on God and ask Him for a sacred moment. You understand what I'm saying? There will never be a time that you as a believer that you can't stop and say, God, I need You to help me. I need You to speak into my life. But what I want you to see now is a description of how God reacts to you. If you look in James chapter 3, it reacts to all of us. It is a description of the Lord's attitude. This is in James chapter number 3, and drop down to verse number 13. I'm just going to read one verse and then drop down to verse 17. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show, this is talking about that mature child of God who gets unflustered, stabilized, has stability, has God's wisdom flowing in his or her life. Let him or her show by his good behavior, his deeds in what? What's that one word there? Gentleness. Do you see it? Of wisdom. Now, drop down to verse number 17, because verse 17, I want you to see some terms that's being used as to how God's going to work in your life. God's not going to come roaring into your life, jerking you around, making a bunch of loud noise, putting fear in your life, rebuking you, getting on you because you've messed up so much. How many folks have felt like you messed up so much? Two of us. Thank you, Brother John. Here it tells you how God will always deal with you every time. Listen carefully. The wisdom from above, that is God speaking into your life. He's giving you wisdom. Notice the description is first what? Pure, then what? Peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of anger, full of what? Full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. You understand what I'm saying? You can always expect this at any time. This is why the most horrible of a person has done the most horrible deeds, that we send him to prison and somehow God is able to draw this person to himself. This guy feels unworthy of everything, but what does he find from God? He finds mercy. He finds purity. He finds gentleness. He finds reasonableness. He finds love. Because this is the way God speaks to all of His children. Can you say amen? And so when the Lord spoke to Sarah, He wasn't rebuking her. He spoke pleasantness into her heart. It'd be like saying, Sarah, is anything too difficult for the Lord? You understand? He wasn't saying, Sarah, Sarah! You old dumb-headed thing, you. Pardon me. I don't talk like that either. He said, Sarah, gentleness, sweetness, persuasive of speech. What was he doing? Blessing her beautiful heart and putting beauty in her heart and saying, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Now, what was the outcome of all this? Well, I want you to go back, if you would please, to Genesis chapter 21. We didn't read this, but this does happen. Genesis 21, verse 1. Then the Lord took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time which God had spoken to him. Look at verse number 6. Sarah says, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me. What did she say? God has made laughter for me. Now, if you know anything about hermeneutics, that's just the science of biblical interpretation. One of the great rules of hermeneutics is to find the first time a word's ever mentioned in the Bible. And when you find that word mentioned, whether it's righteousness, which would be in Genesis 15, whether it's love, you'll find it in different places. Whenever that first word is mentioned in the Bible, the surrounding of that word is teaching you that truth throughout the whole Scripture. And the point is here is that God is the one who makes laughter in the heart of a child of God. This is the first time that word is used in the Bible. Sarah said, God hath made laughter for me. God did it. It comes from God. It's a part of the faith venture. It's a part of the victory walk. God lets you laugh in the face of the devil, in the face of your adversity, in the face of your circumstances. Whatever the problem may be, God will put laughter in your soul. That's the result of Him arranging your heart and bringing faith into your life and something for you to believe. Now, if you were here, some of you folks that were here Friday night, I guess Jeannie and them are gone somewhere, but Jeannie Perkins had come up, you remember, last Sunday. I mean, we had several people that came up to be prayed for. And she came up and we asked the ladies to come lay hands on her. And the men come up, we asked the men to come lay hands on her, and I'm just anointed with oil. She had been having a lot of pains for a long time in her body. She couldn't sleep at night. Her husband had to get out of bed, find him another place to sleep. I mean, he just had to. He didn't have any choice. Friday night, she had us laughing with her. God gave her a healing. And she said, I can show you what I can do. Now, she was going to lay down on the floor and kick her feet up in the air, but we didn't have her do that. But he put laughter in her mouth because something was initiated in her heart that God initiated. And he gave her laughter. And this is the issue of this is one of the signs. God says, I'm going to set this as a sign in Israel. My people will be known by their happy composure, by their life, by their rejoicing. Why will they be rejoicing? Because God's in the camp. God's moving in the midst of them. And He's answering their prayers. And He's giving them their divine moments. And they're walking from victory to victory, from glory to glory. Why? Because they've given Him their attention. He's given them their sacred moments, and they're seeing the outcome of that, which is always going to be laughter. Amen? How many folks need a little laughter? Well, I can't tell you a joke. I don't do too good on jokes. I'm kind of like Nathan. Nobody laughs at my jokes too much. But I usually learn one, I wear it out. Have you ever heard my... I got a joke. Go to Psalm 89. I only have two scriptures left. But Sarah said he gave me laughter. This laughter came out of a sacred moment in her life. She said, God makes laughter. He had given me laughter. Now here's a psalm. I'm only going to use a little bit of it that describes a spiritual walk or a walk of covenant. And If you, I'm just going to look at a little bit of it. If you look at Psalms 89, verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. How blessed are the people who know what? The joyful sound. They walk, oh Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. There is something about their countenance, your countenance, that's produced, reproduced in them. They walk in your victory and in your joy and their laughter. And of course, the sound of laughter is what it's talking about here, this joyful, joyful sound. And look at verse 16. In your name they rejoice all the day, and by your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Can you say amen? So my point is this. You need your sacred moments, but God wants you to get something to laugh about. Amen? And He'll do that when He speaks, begins speaking into your heart, arranging your heart with the question, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Right? What is your response going to be? Well, I found one thing, God. You can't do anything with this one. Shut it down. He's going to say, probably, why did you doubt? I love you, but why did you, that what He told Peter? Why did you doubt? You folks know good and well that people can't walk on water. It's impossible. And you know good and well people can't live by faith without owing a bunch of bills. It's just impossible. And you know people can't depend on the Lord for healing. They've got doctors and medicines. You know that. There's just a lot of things God wants us to do. And you know you can't start a new business, expect God to take care of you and produce and bless that business. Well, that's just impossible. No. Think about it. That's the question we always have to answer. When the Lord says, is anything too difficult for the Lord? You stop with that and say, Lord, no. See, He wants to draw you into an issue of arranging your spiritual life. And then what will come out of this, when you say, Lord, there's nothing too difficult for you, and you get your composure, you're going to receive a result, and the result's going to be laughter. You ever done it? You ever been there, brother? Then laughter. Can you say amen? The only scripture I'll leave you with is this. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Where the Lord's telling Israel, reminding them of their journeys, and you let me just go there. I was going to kind of quote it, but better to look at it. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You're going to be familiar with this. Satan quoted from some of this. Well, the Lord quoted this to Satan, by the way. If you look at Deuteronomy 8, just look at verse number 2. The Lord speaking to Israel, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you. Are you being led? Does God want you to remember where you were and where you've come to? He doesn't want you to look back in longing. He wants you to remember all the sacred moments of your life where God brought you to where you are right now. Think about it. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years that He might humble you. Is God going to humble you? Testing you? Is God going to test you? Well, sure. You need to be tested. We need to be tested so our faith can increase. To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. He humbled you, let you be hungry, fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by divine moments. Do you see it? Now, I interpolated that. But man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. Can you say amen? Thank you, Jesus. So what is my point in all this? Get you up in the morning? Well, yeah, that'd help. Is ask the Lord, Lord, I need sacred. I need something from you. I need you to speak into my life. I need you to share with me. And if you learn to do that, you learn what the walk of faith is. You learn what it means when He makes your feet like hinds feet. You learn what it means to walk in victory, to have consistency in your life, and not have these ups and downs and ups and downs and ups and discouragements, and then something will happen, you have a great moment of peace, and then you lose your peace, you're in discouragement again. You begin to learn something about how God works in your life. You understand why, then he says, fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. You need to come together as a church, but let me tell you something else, folks. You should always do that. But there are times you don't need anybody around you. Some people can't even study the Bible unless they got a bunch of folks around them. You need to get by yourself and ask God for a sacred moment and ask God to speak into your heart. And what will happen, you'll find something new that starts opening up. He'll begin to speak into your heart afresh. Amen? You need that. Let's talk about it a little bit, folks. When I saw the Lord give me this, I knew then that I would not be able to give any justice to it. The Lord would have to fill in some blanks, a lot of them. But isn't this what you're called to? Isn't it the kind of life you're called to? Are we called to just be religious people? What are we called to? We're called to a divine walk. And a divine walk is a walk that's governed and overseen by the Spirit of God. Right? Where He's speaking into my life. Why did Jesus say something like this that sounds so odd? He said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They know me." But He said something else, folks, that we need to clue in on. Another they will not follow. Now you can interpolate that any way you want to. He said it. My sheep know my voice. They're going to recognize my voice. They're going to know that it's me speaking. It's going to know that it's me guiding them. And they will not follow another voice. Why? Because they're my sheep. I've got them in my hand. No one snatches them out of my hand. My Father, who is greater than all, has them in His hand. Can you say amen? There must be something valid about that statement, or He never would have said it. He said, "Why is it you can't hear my word?" He's talking to some people. Well, he said, "Because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And another, they won't follow." It's ironclad, huh, folks? Amen. You want to speak into this, folks? Don't raise your hand. Don't move a finger, because I'm going to call on you. Well, here we go.
A while back, I've been just realizing how much that, you know, I just do on impulse and just not even thinking about choosing something over something else. It's just that I just run towards one thing this day and another thing another day. You know, and when we were in Romans, doing our Bible study over, you know, the computer, it was one of the verses in Romans 14:23. It said, it was talking about how people shouldn't judge other people for what they eat and stuff like that. And it was saying, the man who doubts in his heart is the one who's condemned. Anything done without faith is sin. And that really got me to thinking about decisions, you know. And I said, well, I kind of made up a little thing in my mind that said, do nothing, or make a conscious decision about everything, and then be certain of every decision. You know, it's just, you know, and I, you know, like faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I mean, that's like, that's right. Being confident.
Right.
So if you don't if you make sure you make a decision about everything and then make sure that decision is certain, you know, and James, it said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give it to you if you don't doubt. You know, so, I mean, it's all right there. He wants to lead you, but you just got to say, okay, I want to make this decision. Help me make the right decision. Then help me go forward in the decision. So that really helped me a lot, you know, to wait on God.
Amen.
Not just to jump ahead.
That's good. Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate you sharing that, sis. How about your little children? We got little children here. Should we teach this to them? You know, you need to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. You can teach them that, but you also need to understand that they're under the supervision of a godly father and a mother. And you help shape their lives for a walk of righteousness, right? You know, they learn through your example. When Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice, he used a word that was for mature sheep, not a word for lamb. Lambs follow the sheep. Because every one of you are shepherds. If you got any children in your family, you're a shepherd. You have to guide your children. But what he's talking about, there's a sense of maturity that begins, and I think it's what you're talking about too, sister. You're learning over time, because I remember, Kathy, for a long, long time, you had a lot of questions for me, but you're getting answers yourself from the Lord. And this is what happens in our walk with the Lord. As we begin to mature, we start recognizing, not only his voice, but how to make decisions and how to do things, right? Amen. That's good. Anyone else? Okay, well, can you accept the fact that there are some hallmarks or trademarks to a walk of faith that you can know that you're where you need to be? You remember what they are? The righteousness. What's the next one? Peace and joy. That is under the administration of the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And there's other things that we saw that are very important to us. But the key is the sacred moment. Now, your life is made up of sacred moments. I don't want you to think that when I'm teaching this today that the only sacred moments I have is when God speaks clearly to me. He's overseeing your life when you don't even know it. But you need the sacred moments as hallmarks of the faith walk for him to guide you and move you and send you and do what he needs to do in your life. We need those. But he's always overseeing your life. Can you say amen? He's always there. He's always guiding. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together, folks. Thank you, Lord. It's really not hard, is it? Is it hard to get a word from the Lord? Is it? It's really not. All he needs is your attention. Right? And say, Lord, I need a sacred moment. I need you to speak into my heart, to my life. I'm listening to you, Lord. Speak into my life. What happens is, he'll begin to speak into your heart. One of the things he'll ask you, though, when you're facing your situation is, and you have a pile of bills, and your income's that high, and your bills are that high, and you're looking at your bills, and you hear this beautiful little sweet voice saying, is anything too difficult for the Lord? What is he doing? He's arranging your heart for a miracle, right? You're on a new business venture. And all of a sudden, your mind gets filled full of doubts. You have some shakiness and some fears. And you meditate and you're thinking about this. And you hear this sweet voice speaking to you saying, is anything too difficult for the Lord? When we started this ministry, only my family, I had no congregation. Had no income, nobody supported us as a missionary. We had nobody giving us money. We made a step of faith and got out on the water. All of a sudden, fear just overcame me. I said, I've got my three children, my wife out here. I got nobody to take care of us, help us. And I heard the Holy Spirit speaking into my heart, telling me to get up. I was laying in bed, get up. I want to talk to you. And I go to the kitchen table. And he began to explain to me God's speaking place. His speaking place is all the Bible, but especially in the book of Psalms. And God began to speak to me. What did he do? He drove away my fears. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? Can you answer that question? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? No. Nothing's too difficult for you. Thank you, Jesus. While we worship the Lord, if you would like to come up for any reason, please feel free to come up. This may be a moment now. Maybe you're carrying something in your life where you need a healing, like Sister Jeannie did last week and others came up. Those things are for you. Whatever it may be, we want to pray with you and believe with you. Thank you, Jesus. Have you talked to your Father lately, folks? Amen. Everybody's involved in the Awana program. I want you to come up front, if you would, please. All the teachers, the directors, the leaders, listeners. Would you just come up and stand up front for a minute? For several years now, we've gone to these different conferences, and they're always wonderful conferences. They're amazing things. And I think the one that I went to yesterday has got to be the best that I have been to. And we're not an Awana church, folks. We are a church that has the Awana program. Can you say amen? And it's a tremendous tool. And Brother Warren was sharing something with me about something he heard yesterday about being able to reach these kids that are not necessarily even members of our congregation at all. They're just kids out there that are, God's got his hand on bringing them to the Awana program, but they need somebody to touch their lives. And I just feel like I wanted to pray with you because you folks have a tremendous calling from God in the Awana program to reach children that are often are not reached any other way. God has chosen you to do that. And I'm going to ask you to take your calling very seriously from the Lord. And I want to pray with you, pray for you, and ask the Lord to show you how to minister to these young people and to reach out to other young people. Can you agree with me? Amen. Church, can you just pray with me? This is a beautiful bunch of people that are willing to serve in the Awana program. Father, in the name of Jesus, we had such an awesome day yesterday, Lord, and heard some wonderful things. Heard a Jewish Christian man. What a testimony that I've ever seen. You know, it's God in the synagogue and all these things. It's when his mama was invited to attend a church service, and she went and got saved. And he met you, Jesus, and you placed him in the middle of this Awana and made him one of the officers, one of the high up people in this. And what a zeal and a love and a devotion we saw in him. What a remarkable testimony we saw, not only in him, but in the others, Lord, the other testimonies that we've heard. What a tremendous venture. You said, let the little children come unto me and don't forbid them. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, for your divine witness and testimony upon the hearts of all of our Awana people, the workers, Lord, Brother Gary, all of the directors, the leaders, the listeners, everybody that's involved, Sister Betty, the secretary. Lord, that you would open up this area of ministry for us even in a greater way, and that we would receive children. This would become a great ministry tool. We would receive children that are unchurched, that have seemingly in this world that they're just without hope. God, that you'll use this as a great tool in reaching those children and put our arms around them and love them and help them to find a future with you, Lord. Father, we just want to take this to our hearts. Thank you, Father, for it. And I ask you to show each one of these workers a little thing that they can do to make the Awana program even more effective. Father, I thank you for it. I know that you will do it. Help me, Father, as a pastor, to be involved the areas that I need to be involved in and reaching families. In the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen. Thank you, folks. Thank you. You can be seated if you would. Lord bless you.
There's something else to go along with that. One of the speakers that we had speak, he also suggested, you know, pray for the Awana group. But not only just the pastor pray for us, But I just want to challenge you, and I just want to put it before all of you, because it is part of our church. It's our children, other children throughout the community that are coming and learn about the Lord. But for each one of you out there to pray for all of us in Awana. You know, we need your prayers. We need your support. Because it is an awesome ministry. And I just think it'd be a fantastic thing as we as a church, not only to support us, but to grow with the prayer for the kids. There's a lot of lost kids out there. There's a lot of lost families out there. And Awana is an excellent program for drawing them in, for bringing them to the Lord, and bringing families. So I just want to put it before you all just to pray for all of us that are in Awana.
Thank you, Brother Gary. Amen. Amen. Nathan, lead us in that course, and we're not going to try to drag this out, but if you have a need this morning, anyone else want to come up, feel free to come. Amen.
You were my strength, you were my treasure.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Will you do what I do? Say, just do what I do. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God. Blessed be your holy name. You're not doing it. Get your hand. We got to have some folk doing this stuff. Let's start over now. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your holy name.
Your holy name.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Thank you for my sacred moments.
Thank you for my sacred
in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.